Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this sweet time. Lord, your fragrance of the beauty of your grace is thick. And Lord, thank you that we can take it. Lord, thank you, God, that we can just be immersed in it this morning. And Lord, thank you that, God, it's not about how we feel, but Lord, it's because of your love and it's by faith. And Lord, thank you again that you've opened the door so wide to us that we come in freely and boldly to this throne of grace this morning. And Lord, to enjoy you, to be happy and thankful and joyous for your breast. Lord God, we lay upon your breast. God, we rest upon you. Lord, it's a wild time. It's a wilderness that you said that, God, you have appointed that we're in. But Lord, you bring us through it every single time as we lean upon you. Lord, wake us up this morning. Lord, let us just be saturated, Lord God. And again, just fully immersed in the beauty of the word of your grace this morning. And Lord, how it soothes us. And God, how it comforts. And Lord, again, how it strengthens. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you, God, for your tender mercy to us. Lord, help us to truly have an appreciation today. Open our hearts. Let us see the beauty of the magnificence of the love of Jesus. And in your precious name we pray. Amen. If you'd open up your Bibles with me today, we're going to the 25th chapter of Matthew. And I really do encourage you, if you don't have a Bible this morning, scoot over on the pew with somebody that has one. You need to read this. You need to let the Word of God be read to you this morning. God divinely gives us things that are so crystal clear. And thanking God, it's by His Spirit that we can be quickened with His proposal to us. That's what this is. It's a proposal. He wants you. He wants you. If you're a child of God today, He bought you. But He wants you. And He wants that complete surrender. He wants you to be captivated by how great His love is for you. But the Lord has brought my heart back once again to these five wise and five foolish virgins. And for the Bible students out there, I thank God for Bible students that are seeking the truth in love. And I am thankful to God, those that know the meaning here of this portion of Scripture to Israel, to later on in the tribulation into the millennial time. But today, I want to focus on another layer, and its meaning in another layer to truly to us right now. Who by grace are enlightened, brothers and sisters, enlightened with the eyes of understanding to see that Jesus Christ at this moment is going to have a bride out from among this precious family of God. There will be a bride and she will be taken up. That's why you hear in this place so many times, arise, feed, awaken, awaken. See, there's a slumbering that's going on right now in Christianity. There's a slumbering on the people of God that we're becoming somewhat complacent and set in our ways, maybe indifferent to things of the Word of God, not truly alive and alert and loving His appearing. And this is one of those precious portions of Scripture that in its meaning that we will address today, hits it right on the mark. And let's read from verse 1 of chapter 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. So here they are to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 of them were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried,
They all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." And let me tell you something, there is a trumpet coming. There's going to be the voice of an archangel. And let me tell you something, those that are alive and awake and loving his appearing, they're going to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Listen to this. They all in harmony were doing this. But yet the five foolish said unto the wise, "Give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Praise God. Now by grace, we rejoice in this meeting, and it is a precious meeting. We rejoice in Paul's gospel. I thank God the Word of God is very clear and tells us through Brother Paul, by the Spirit anointing him, "Follow me as I follow Christ." He goes on to say, "Preach no other gospel." Even if he himself would preach another gospel, or an angel would come and preach another gospel, then what he was preaching in the whole counsel of God, he said, "Let them be accursed. Don't listen to them. Don't listen to me if I go that way. Because this is the gospel. This is the mystery of Christ. This is, praise God, the gospel of the glory. The gospel of the glory that Jesus Christ will have a wife. Praise his name." That's what all of those precious love stories, as we were rejoicing last week, all of those precious love stories in the Old Testament, think how many there are. I mean, it's a romance novel, and another novel, and another novel. Why are all those precious romance stories told? Because of this bride for the Lamb's wife. All of those things were laid out and said and stated and lived for us. That we, praise God, live in the time of a better thing, exceeding great and precious promises. That, praise be to God, that Jesus will have a wife. Now, we rejoice in that. And we understand that it really is the crowning jewel, praise God, of the heart of God. Matter of fact, it says that he's searching and seeking for that goodly pearl. That, praise God, the bride, the Lamb's wife, that new Jerusalem, she will descend out of heaven having the glory of God. Marvelous all over the Word of God and all of the, not just hints, we're talking blunt, "Here she is. She's my glory." He is ravished with her. But as of late, you know, the Lord has really been after us, hasn't he? I mean, he has been pursuing us in a mighty way. The Word of God even calls it chastening. And we've been hearing messages about this bride and her qualities, her character, her manner of life. Think of the sermons that we've had as of late. Her kindness. Amen. That she doesn't carry around the roots of bitterness. She doesn't get distracted with that stuff. That's not her life. That, praise the Lord, she forgives truly as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. That means we forgot about it. Never even really happened. Praise be to God. We're going on. We're forgetting those things that are behind. Amen? If you're still looking back, you're not looking into the midst of the throne to rule and reign with him. You can't look both ways. You can't serve two masters. It doesn't work. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Oh, I'm yielding here and I'm not yielding there. No, it's just yielding. And praise be to God, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing and reaching for the mark, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. See, by His grace, this love story, this proposal, truly, again, true love forgets everything and focuses only on the one thing. It's not distracted. Amen? It just isn't. It's just, well, because there's my love. That's my lover. Praise the Lord. But it presses towards that mark and that prize. And this, by God's grace, is who she is. But once again, in the Word and how God does it over and over, He's revealing right now and He's telling us the bridegroom is coming. The bridegroom is coming. He even said in the Word of God, when you see these things come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Amen. But even more so than the things of this world, and we rejoice in this, it's the groaning that's happening in the bride. It's the transformation of the sons of God. They're becoming like Him. They're becoming altogether lovely. Praise God. That oneness, that unity of spirit. Praise His name. That evidence is growing mightily in the saints, those coals that are on fire. And thanks be to God that I believe by God's grace I'm around some of them. Hallelujah. But brothers and sisters, even though the bridegroom is coming, do you know that there's many in the family of God that don't even have a clue about anything to do with the bridegroom? Do you know that? Yes. Most of God's precious people do not really understand at all. They're ignorant to Jesus Christ will have a bride. Oh, there might be an acknowledgement. Oh, yes, He's going to marry the church. But we understand in Scripture that's not correct. Jesus Christ will have a bride out from among the church. There is a body, just like Adam's body, that was very asleep, but very much representing the church. Praise God. But when he was asleep at that time was when the rib portion was taken out of him. And praise be to God, there is the bride. Now, over and over, he shows us these things. Whether it was Rebekah and Isaac. There was Isaac's dad. Praise God, Abraham. Where did he go to get the bride for his son? He sent his servant back to his people. He went to his people. He didn't just send him out in the world. He went to his people to get the bride for his son. But it wasn't going to be out of all of this multitude, in a sense. It was just one. She was altogether lovely. She was the one that sat at the well. And not only sat at the well and listened to the proposal, but she responded to the proposal. She said, I'll go. And as she said, you know, I'd like to say so long to a couple people and maybe stay just a few days. And the Holy Spirit said, oh no, if you're in love with my master's son, it's right now. It's not tomorrow, because my visiting and my encouragement, which is the only way you're going to go, it's right now, today. That's how it is. See, when you keep passing on it, eventually it just passes you by. That's why, again, over and over, you'll hear from this pulpit, today's the day. Today is the day. He could come today. It's going to be the hour that they think not. It's going to be the hour and the time that the great sleep is upon them, and it's here. But praise God for His grace, and God forbid that I would be sleeping at the time of His coming. Now, so there are some that don't even know or think about a bridal company. But then there are some that are like these five foolish ones that know of His coming. They knew that the bridegroom was going to come. And they were thinking about this bridal company. And they were fit with all the provisions. Think about it. just like the five wise virgins who were ready and went into the marriage. These five foolish ones, they knew there was a marriage. They knew that the time of his coming was upon him. They had lamps just like the five wise ones, and they were virgins too. So here we are. They're all right there. All of the provision was given to them. But now we go back to the beginning of the message today. Remember the qualities of her. Remember the kindness. Remember that there's not any root of bitterness. Remember that she forgives as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Those qualities. What are those qualities? Love. That's love. You can't do that. I can't do that. But God's love is that. It's not God's love can do that. God's love is that. That's what his love is. And so much more. Those are just some of the qualities. And that's just it, brothers and sisters. The oil that was missing in those lamps was the love of God. Yeah, amen. He's after us again today, isn't he? Yeah. The scripture tells us, brothers and sisters, that we could have faith to move mountains. We could speak with the tongue of men and angels. We could know all mysteries, everything. But if we do not have the love of God, it profits us nothing. We have missed it. We have missed that mark. Think of that. Now, do you see how on the mark this text is in regards to being ready for the rapture? I pray to God you do. I pray to God this is something that's searching us right now. Lord, help me to be sincere in this. Help me not just to be going through motions. You know what I'm saying? I talk to couples that want to get married, are married often. Don't ever go through the motions. Don't. You're missing so much. Don't do that. Allow God to give you joy. Thanking him. Praise be to God. Thanking him. And Christian couples, that you have a spouse that loves the Lord, thank him. Praise him. God's not for this, well, we'll just get by. We're talking about the God of exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. How under the mark we live, huh? In a lot of different ways. God, encourage us by faith, by faith, by faith. Not by what I see, not by what I feel. And this pertains exactly to this. It does, brothers and sisters. God is after us. He is testifying to us in everything that he has created if we'll just pay attention to it. And he does. But it's so awesome what he's saying here with these ones that knew of the wedding, these ones that had a lamp. Brothers and sisters, just because we have knowledge of Paul's gospel, just because we have knowledge of the bridal truth, and let me make this statement, it is vital and essential to know and have knowledge of bridal truth to be in the bride of Christ. You have to know of this gospel. You have to be feeding upon this precious proposal of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But just because you know it and just because you've heard it, brothers and sisters, that alone does not hit the mark. Oh, no. No, no. And this example of these five foolish ones is very evident in it. There was a lack of love. I was thinking about, as I was reading through this, those Ephesians, that precious church in Ephesus. If you read and know a little bit about the book, or Paul's letter, I should say, to the Ephesians, it's a high watermark of the Word of God. That church in Ephesus, those precious saints, were were at that mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. They loved the Lord with all their heart, soul, and might. They were after Paul's gospel. But do you see how in Revelation, the Spirit encourages John as he starts writing to the churches? And in that short time, what does he say to the church at Ephesus? Oh, I know your works. I know you love the Lord. I know there's a lot of things going on that are good. But I have one thing against you. You've left your first love. So similar again in ones that have heard of the bridal message and knew of the bridal message. And yes, the bridegroom's coming. But what about the first love? What about the fervency of, Lord, I do, praise God, I want to win you. This is what this message is of. See, that is the part that is missing, brothers and sisters, is that fervent, effectual love. That is the oil in the lamp. That is the full overcomer joy of the Holy Ghost reigning. Now, I'm not saying that we're always coming in here swinging from the rafters and all of that type of thing. We understand that. But I'll tell you what, there's always a thump, 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 thump. He loves me. Oh, he loves me. Praise be to God. It's good every day because he loves me. Now, that's the love, brothers and sisters, that fruit abounds. But see, if that's lacking, it doesn't matter how much we think we're seeking this. It doesn't matter how ready we think we are. Without perfect love, without oil in the lamp, that door will be shut. That time of readiness will be past. That opportunity to win him will be over. Throughout the Word of God, the Bible encourages us, enter in now. Don't delay. There's a patience, but patience is entering in now, isn't it? You've entered in by faith, but you're just patient in what God has already performed and is going to just show you. But the Word of God tells us always, enter in now. Don't delay and don't put it off. When you put it off, there's always consequences. You think about the Hebrew children. There they were, drawn out, praise God. What a miracle that the Lord used Moses to lead them out of Egypt after all of those years of slavery. Amen? He takes them on dry ground through the Red Sea. He gives them water out of a rock. He feeds them with manna from heaven every day. Gives them two on one day for the weekend. Praise God. He showed himself faithful over and over. But there they were for 40 years in that wilderness. And God so faithful to them, their clothes never ran out. They never wore out. You understand? Their shoes, whatever it was, they were always right. God was always for them. They didn't just die off at that time. God was ministering and pleading with them. Go in. Take it. It's there. And literally for 40 years, if you look at that map, there were times I'm confident. You know, Joe, if we'd walk over there 15 feet, we'd be in. But their unbelief, their murmuring, kept them out. Yeah. They knew it was there. God had given it to them. But they didn't enter in. And we know what happened. Those bones of those ones, they waxed in the desert. And then I got to thinking about Elijah. And how sweet and how God, and so encouraged. I'm going to take him up into heaven. You talk about a time of his departure is nigh. And they knew, praise God, that God was going to take him up. And God took him up in that chariot of fire. And you know who knew? The sons of the prophets knew this. Just think it, the sons of the prophets. Think of it this way. The sons of all of the pastors. All of the elders. All the ones that went to church seeking God and all of this. And their sons. They knew this story. They knew that this was going to happen. And there was another precious brother that knew it too, and his name was Elisha. Now, the sons of the prophets, if you know the story, they were just teasing and badgering Elisha all the way along. Jabbing him, hurting him. A lot of different things in that. But they kind of would follow along. And it said that they were afar off. But Elisha, he took all of the punches. He took all of the ridicule. Do you get some of that kind of ridicule? You believe too much? Oh, you just think you're a better Christian than me because you believe that you might be in the bride of Christ. See, that's man's mind. God wants all of all. He's not a respecter of person. But he preaches very clearly in his word. He knows man. And he knows most men are not going to believe in his son, period. He knows most of Christians, and that's why he calls them the innumerable multitude, will not take this message. And that's why you find them in heaven having palms in their hands, waving palms as a servant. Come on. Wake up. Read the word of God. It's very evident. Why is the innumerable multitude, that means you couldn't even count how many there are in heaven, but why are they only waving palms like a servant? Because they're the same ones today that are saying over and over, I'm going to serve the Lord, I'm going to serve the Lord. Let's go out and just work it for the kingdom. Those are my brothers and sisters, I love them. I thank God for them, I thank God that they love Jesus. But they're missing the best part. They're missing why he left and gave the Holy Ghost. That you would know all truth. That you could enter in to Paul's fullness gospel. Don't you want to please God? I believe you do. You don't come to church if you didn't want to please God, I hope. Faith. Faith. Believing this word and believing all the word of God. And believing especially Paul's gospel. But here it is. These sons of the prophets, they just saw it afar off. And so when the time came, it was that little one who was the nut that took all of the teasing, that took all of the ridicule, that said, oh my, probably his family too, oh my goodness, Elijah, why don't you just stay here for a while? You're just kind of nutty for that stuff. He says, oh no, I'm convinced, Mom, I'm convinced, Dad. I love you, but I've got to go. I've got to go. There's an appointment. There's an urging, and there's an urgency. I can't miss this. And so it's like the chaste virgin. It's like he cleaved, praise God. And he wouldn't be moved. And he said, I'm not going nowhere. I'm not leaving this. It's just too good. And so all those that stood afar off, they never even really got to see what happened. But oh, there was one that did. The one that stayed with the stuff. And oh, he got to see that chariot come. And he got to see that precious prophet go. And praise be to God, he even got the best part of it all. What do you want, son? Oh, I want a double portion. And it came upon that brother's life, didn't it? Hallelujah. And he did exactly twice as many miracles as Elijah did. Twice as many. You're in the time of the double portion. Do you know that? And if you'll believe it and you'll stay with that stuff, praise be to God, one thing's going to happen. You'll have it. You'll have it. Because he's faithful and true. Because he's true to his word. He's even told you he can't deny himself. Well, let me tell you something. It's impossible for God to lie. And there's nothing more that is thrilling the Godhead. And that the awaiting of all of heaven is the manifestation of those sons of God, those mature ones. Those ones, praise God, that not only heirs of God, every child of God's an heir of God, but joint heirs together with Jesus Christ. If so be that you suffer together with me, huh? Do you think Joshua and Caleb suffered a little bit? You know it. They came back and they were all giddy about going into the promise. Oh man, we're well able to take this. Let's go. God gave it to us. He said it. That's His word. It's ours. Oh, you're a nut. You're stupid. You're acting arrogant. You think that you know more than we do. Let me tell you something, son. We've been in this a lot longer than you have. Huh? Do you see the pattern? It's called unbelief. It's called pride, stubbornness, all of those things. Just line it right up, and it will cause your oil, your lamp to be lacking oil. You won't go in. Think about the same thing with Elisha. Ridiculed, thumped, teased, all of those different things. Alone. Oh, yeah. But was it worth it? Was any of that teasing worthy to be compared, Elisha? At the moment you saw him go and bang, you got the double portion. All he could say was, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that the glory was so much greater than that momentary affliction, which is light. That's the truth. We're in it. We're in it now. Oh, yes. Now, Joshua, Caleb, Elisha. Oil all over their life. All over them. I loved, as it said about old Aaron, that oil was dripping from his beard. I think about that. Praise be to God. Lord, just pour it all over me. I don't want you just touching me with it. Just pour it all over me. You know what I'm saying? But it was all over their lives. And why was it evident? Because they loved the truth. They loved the Lord. They loved the Word of God. And they weren't going to be moved in the Word of God. You know, the Lord said this, guys. What are you doing? It was kind of like David, you know, seeing Goliath out there. What are you guys doing? That's an uncircumcised Philistine. He's mocking our God. What are you doing? God's already given that. It's a nothing. He's a giant, but it's like a figment of an imagination. He cannot stand against the living God. Those are ones that love the truth. They're not like everybody else. They're not. They're off. Let's just say it as it is. And I'm talking off amongst other Christians. Go put your brother away, would you? Get David out of here. He's just running at the mouth again, huh? No, he wasn't running at the mouth. He was fully purposed. Why are we here, guys? Can you hear him kind of saying this? Did God bring us this far along and done all of these things to let some ungodly giant take us down? Over and over through the Word of God, that's what God shows us. And it does, it cuts, doesn't it? It shows who's really for me. Who's really fully purposed. Boy, when the going gets tough, you look behind, nobody's going. Don't look behind, just go. You look behind, you're going to get afraid. You're going to, oh my goodness, I don't have Mo and Joe or whatever it is. You just got to go. Praise the Lord. This is wonderful stuff. See, these guys, they didn't sit back on their laurels of who they were, where they came from, what they knew, what they did. They just surrendered to God. They just surrendered to God. They said, it's the word of the Lord. And in surrendering to God, what happens is you open up. You open up. You become an open vessel. Open vessels receive oil. Surrendered vessels receive the anointing. The anointing. You need an anointing or you're not going to win God's best. An anointed life. An anointed power. And I'm talking about the power of the Holy Ghost. The power of His might. And that is all the oil, brothers and sisters. And it's full in that lamp. And it's overflowing in that lamp. But brothers and sisters, I'll tell you what. You shut down. You become indifferent. And that top of that oil lamp never comes off. The oil might be poured out, but it ain't being received. You'll be around it, but you'll be afar off. Now, brothers and sisters, he has privileged us to be at this moment of the trump of God. Oh, yes. You don't realize how privileged you are. I really don't even know how privileged I am. But praise be to God, I got a little inkling, and you know what? Just that little. Oh, it's much. It's much. We're at the time of the bridal message of Paul. But if we're going to be indifferent, if we're going to be cold, if we're going to be neutral to these things, I'm going to tell you right now, those are the signs that there's no oil in the lamp. There's not. All right? Let him open us up. Let the overflowing oil come into your life. Amen. Praise God. You'll have joy unspeakable and full of glory. You'll be whistling in lion's dens. You'll be such a kook, you'll be praising him in a furnace. It gets hot down there. You'll sweat. Things might even stink. I don't know what might go on, but I'll tell you one thing. You'll have the joy of the Lord as your strength. And you'll know. And you'll be walking through those valleys. And you know what? You'll have an abounding in hope. The joy of the Lord will sustain you. Praise be to God. But I'm telling you, time's running out. And it is. It's running out. This is the time. And there's going to be a full joy for some. Oh, yes. There's going to be a full joy. And it's going to be a joy that eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor has even entered into the hearts of men, what God has prepared for them that love him. But then on the flip side of that, too, the opposite is true. There is going to be a sorrow. And there's going to be a sorrow for those who knew there was a wedding, who knew that the bridegroom was going to come. And the Lord expresses that sorrow for that innumerable group, that when they meet God, there's going to be a tear that's going to have to be wiped from their eyes. The bride don't arrive in heaven that way. Ecstatic, joyous, thrilled beyond. I can't contain it. I'm going to just combust, but praise be to God, I'll have a body like unto his own. But that's how she hits glory. Glory meets glory. Glory ain't crying. Glory, oh no. Crying out, I've won. But no more tears in that. Oh no. So brothers and sisters, it is time to lay aside every weight. Every weight. And the sin that so easily besets us, that's just our lack of faith in anything. It's got to go if I'm going to run. It can't be hanging on if I'm going to run. And that runner that will lay aside every weight, by God's grace, will win him. It will be a full joy finish. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you for your encouragement to us. Lord, we know that you want this for us more than we could ever desire it. We know that our desire for it is because of Christ in us, the hope of glory. So, Lord, we know that you have given this to us. And we know, Lord Jesus, that you said that you would perform the good work which I have begun. Now, Lord, help us to yield to that and to praise you for that this morning. And Lord, again, all these hearts that are here, that are hearing this, and those that will hear this message, Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the power, in that name, Lord God, God, set us afire. Let us be these fiery ones. Let us be these ones that run, Lord God, and are not distracted, as if the word Ephesians means fully purposed. Oh, the running horses that win the race, that brotherly love of Philadelphia. We love you, we praise you, and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.